96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Hello and a pleasant good morning. I see my producer just turned on the mic right on me. And normally I wave to him and he says, yeah, you go, right? Good morning. This is Guardian Radio AM. Again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today as we continue our series with Dr. Cleveland Ennius III, right? It's now a little after 11 o'clock and we'll start our conversation about a subject we started earlier. I'd like to also thank Erin for last week for hosting on Kusara. And I heard the conversation was dynamic. A number of persons still talking and reeling from that conversation. So I'd like to thank you for that. But again, good morning, Unku.
Good morning. It's so great to be here, my brother. Namaste.
Yes. Which means I bow
to the divinity within you.
Yes. It's similar to the...
The Hindus would say namaste.
Namaste.
And the Africans, we said Namastu.
And which language is that?
So the languages have ultimately come out of what they call the Bantu cluster of languages. There were many languages that ultimately come out of this cluster. But this cluster was at one time one language, that's Tamaraic. And so within that language, we always understood that each of us has specific principles, strengths, if you will, that we get from the Most High. And so when I see a Sisu Nuri, Namastu doesn't just mean, oh, yeah, I'm bowing to this person. I understand that there's a divinity in you that you are seeking for, that you ultimately are striving to be at one with. And so every time I acknowledge that in you and you acknowledge it in me, we keep ourselves centered on the fact that we're reaching for this divinity within us. In scriptures today, they would say the Messiah originally taught the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This kingdom of heaven that is within us is something that we are ultimately striving to be at one with so that we can reach our fullest potential.
So is it similar to the Yiddish language of shalom?
So shalom would be peace.
What about the Arabic language of assalamu alaikum?
Again, this idea of I greet you in peace, this idea of Hotep, again, from the we call the hieroglyphic language, because there was a time where these languages were coming out of a place called the Band of Peace, or this is where we all met, to ultimately benefit from the peace. What do I mean by that? You cannot build pyramids and you cannot reach the higher sciences if you are constantly trying to survive, trying to find shelter for the night, trying to find food every day. In order for us to be able to do what we did, we had a plethora of food, we had shelter, we had clothing, and we had our universities, which allowed for us to actually explore these things. We had peace. And so this peace moved through the various religions, moved through the various cultures in the languages. And this is why the study of languages is so important, because it gives us the ability to see how we are connected and how we use certain words in certain instances to be able to appreciate how we as a people ultimately would have come from this origin in sub-Saharan West Africa, the Niger River Valley, all right? We within the Holy Coptic Church understand that Egypt, or what they're calling Egypt, which was originally Kemet, these were our children. We built cities and civilization, if they want to call it culture, in West Africa before we got to East Africa, which is something we could discuss one day. But ultimately, the shalom, the assalamu alaikum, Hotep, right? These words represented and still today represent this idea of having balancement. And once we have this balancement, then the spirit of the Most High, which we know is, or the will of the Most High, which we know is who he, this word who he, later on becomes Yahweh in the Hebrew. But it demands that any space that it moves in have this balance, this peace.
Okay. Yeah. So we move on to our topic for today, which is about to be magic. Mm. Does magic exist? Is there such a thing as church magic? Is the oracle working the same? Do they came from the same source? Is all things like magical and magical in existence comes from God? God being the creator, or the Most High being the creator of all things. Is magic evil inherently, or it can be corrupted? And I ask that because we have churches who do church magic, mm-hmm. right? They are able to heal the sick mm-hmm. by praying. They are able to speak in different languages. Mm-hmm. I mean, nowadays, there are a number of people who question the language they speak because it seems to be scripted, mm-hmm. right? Everyone, no one can interpret what they're saying. It doesn't seem to be genuine. It seems as if that they can call it at will. Mm-hmm. They don't go through any type of transformation to be inflamed. That it's just that it's a casual conversation thing. But we know of healing pillows. Mm-hmm. Pillows sleep. We know about healing water, healing oil, which can cure you from various ailments. We know about, I think it's called alabaster, boxes, mm-hmm. scarves, that you put on the scarf and you feel healed. We know that talismans like crosses, talismans like rosary, I think, what do you call that? Chakra stones. I'm not sure if people would know what a chakra is. These beaded things that you put on. Mm. I've heard people speak about beads that people wear now mm-hmm. Coming from some kind of underwater kingdom. Right, and this underwater kingdom blessed these particular beads, and now we use them as fashion, not knowing that these decorations that we have around our neck, our wrists, our ankles, has some kind of mystic powers. I would like to know if magic exists. Is Obia exists? Voodoo exists? I know some type of magic too. Various African clan have some type of magic. We know that Asians have some type of magic. I mean, of course, we hear often about what those people in Europe call, besides gypsies and the people who by the Stonehenge, I forget their names again.
The Druids
have magic. So Indians, Native Americans have magic. So all races on this earth, even the Australian Aborigines, cite that they practice and do magic.
Right.
Does magic exist?
So, again, thank you for having me on the show. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahuna Nkusa Ra. I am the head priest of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah here in Nassau, Bahamas, and we are under the auspices of the Holy Coptic Church International, led by our Coptic Pope, Barsesh Harohotep Tar. One of the things that I want to always be clear about as we introduce a word, magic, today would be that word, is we want to look at what this word actually means etymologically. So etymology speaks to the root of the word, right? And this word magic, it can be a noun. Of course, a noun is a person, place, or thing, or it can be an adjective. So the word magic is the art of influencing or predicting events and producing marvels using hidden natural forces. Also, supernatural art, especially the art of controlling the actions of spiritual or superhuman beings. This is from the old French, magique. This magic, magical from the late Latin, magis, the sorcery, magic from the Greek, magik, presumably, they say with techne art, the feminine of magikos, magical from magos, one of the members of the learned and priestly class. So you originally had a group, they call them the three wise men in the Bible as it's held today. These magi, these alchemists who had a relationship and an understanding with nature and this ability to ultimately use nature in a way that was unknown to the unlearned. So today we would call it, some refer to as alchemy. Today would be referred to as chemistry, and the word chem is the word black. So this is the science of black. Now, the European understood the power in it, and so they referred to it as black magic, and they made it something that was pagan. Even today, on our law books, the one thing that they, or on one religion that they say you cannot practice is obeah. They'll say that's illegal, right? So this idea of there being people who had an understanding of nature, and in the Bible, they are referred to as wise men. These wise men, they say, were following a star to understand where the Christ child was to be born. And they had wisdom and understanding of how to look into the sky to know where the child would be born and to ultimately lead the child to safety. Well, Herod had his own group that were mimicking what they saw the Magi ultimately do. And so these group of people were using a form of what today we could refer to as sleight of hand, or this idea of playing on people's ignorance, right? This is a big part of what magic today has become, all right? Now, when you hear people talking about pillows and handkerchiefs and stuff, this is seen in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. It says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul." So this is, again, coming from Paul. You know how me and Paul go, right? So Acts 19, verse 12, "So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs," or aprons, "and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." So this is Paul now. They didn't say this came from Jesus. They didn't say this came from God. They say this came from Paul. You understand? And so this is the actual blueprint that many churches are using today, whereby they have whatever handkerchief, water, etc., that they are using to say is healing people. Now, of course, we know about the placebo effect. We know that within even the pharmaceutical industry, they understand if I give people a pill and they feel like it's going to cure them, it can cure them. If I a person's body and just close it back up and told them they had surgery, they can actually heal. This has been done. It's called the placebo effect, right? But ultimately, it boils down to what we spoke about a few weeks ago, that this serpent, this devil, this Lucifer who came to earth, in order for him to deceive the entire world, he would not come and present himself as God. I mean, as the devil. He would actually present himself as God, which we saw in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, where it talks about Satan being this angel of light and his messengers ultimately in the pulpits. So you have a reality where the Messiah in Matthew 24 is warning his disciples. He's saying, you know, beware, let no man deceive you. Don't allow people to come in my name saying that I am Christ and deceive you. This is Matthew 24, verse 5. And deceive you using what Paul did here.
So the long and short of it, you're saying that magic does exist.
So there, well, we didn't call it. You understand?
No, science, I understand. That's operating and using.
But if you don't understand
liquid and whatever.
Yeah, but if you don't understand the science, then your mind can perceive it as magic.
I got an obey trick. I could turn drink from blue to purple.
That's science, man.
I could it's Obeah.
Mm-hmm.
You, it's Obeah. You don't know how I do it. Do you know how I do it?
You mixing colors and things.
No.
Well, how you doing?
It's Obeah. I can't tell you.
You can't tell me.
See?
But I could turn blue. I could turn a blue drink into a purple drink into a pink drink.
Right.
You don't know how I do it.
That's
it's magic.
Thing, man.
There's no dye involved. No natural unnatural additives.
I gotta see you do that, Aaron. We could do that after the show. Change that water to different colors.
So even
I'm just saying, I could do it.
Just for example, right? When you look at the adjective of this word, magic, right? One of the things that we thought was magic, they say optical instrument whereby a magnified image is thrown upon a wall or a screen. That's the movies. Mm-hmm. But if you don't understand how that's done, you're like, wow, like there's this stuff on the wall and where did it come from? It must be magic. You
part of what I call church magic mm-hmm. is exorcising demons.
Right.
When I was younger, I thought only Catholic priests come with a cross.
Right.
And all of the poltergeist type movies, there's always a Catholic priest who's exorcised demons.
Right.
Now we've seen these, what kind of church you call those?
Protestant.
Protestant mm-hmm. churches mm-hmm. who now exorcise demons. In fact, we have churches here.
Protestant is Anglican, do we?
As one of the Protestants.
Yeah.
You
ever seen Anglicans exercising people?
No, I never
not all of them do it.
I never seen Anglicans exercise. I don't think they have that magic. They lost them. Anyway, we have churches in New Providence mm-hmm. that every Sunday they can exercise demons. Mm-hmm. They have whatever gift, whatever power that is. Mm-hmm. Is there such a thing as demons, first of all? And is that magic?
So, from the African theology, we understood demons to be viruses, bacteria, and germs. And the fact that these viruses, bacteria, and germs had the ability to hijack the actual systems within a body in order to make that body do what it wants it to do. I'd love to try to find, I'll send it to you. But there's a TED talk where an Oriental gentleman is showing how this happens in animals. So, for example, there's a microorganism, I think it's called toxoplasma, that has to, in order for it to reproduce, it must do so in the gut of a cat. So what it does is it infects mice to run towards the cat so that the cat can actually catch them, eat them, and get into the gut of the cat so that it can reproduce. They show wasp infecting caterpillars, and the caterpillar is used as a source of security for a wasp nest. There's literally a caterpillar protecting a wasp nest because that germ has been placed inside of the caterpillar and it's taken over the caterpillar. It's possessed the caterpillar. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing this in the animal world, but when it comes to humans, we get supernatural.
Do you ever seen a zombie, Nuri? Ever seen a zombie?
No.
You ever seen cordyceps mushrooms?
No.
Cordyceps mushrooms, one of the ways they produce?
Go ahead.
It's like a fungus attacks the ant.
Mm.
And then it'll grow, the spore of the mushroom will grow out of the ant, but it latches onto the ant and turns it into a zombie. The ant has lost control. It's the mushroom, it's the mycelium that's controlling the ant. And it just does whatever the mycelium instructs it to do.
So that's a form of possession.
Right.
So there's such a thing as possession, and there are people who are possessed.
Yes.
Or have that germs, like you said, and the diseases that has their mind gone.
Yes. Well, what's happening now is because we're not growing our own food like we used to, and we're now just accepting whatever they put in the package and tell us what it is, there are certain microbes being introduced to us that would not have normally been introduced to us because our food that we would have grown would have the microorganisms from our environment where that our immune system was actually prepared to deal with, whereby we would not have to folk or worry about this idea of possession. But when you got food coming from all over the world, introducing microorganisms to us that our bodies ultimately have not been prepared for, you ultimately have a situation where our immune systems are fighting to catch up with the amount of microorganisms that are being introduced to it, whereby we're weak. Our immune systems have been weakened. Once that immune system is weakened, and for people who haven't done the research before, but if when I took microbiology at Tuskegee University, and we looked at what these microorganisms look like under a microscope, they look like demons. If you look at a mosquito larvae under a microscope, it looks like a demon. What we say a demon looks like. If you look at a maggot, right, under a microscope, it looks like a demon, which is why in the book of Matthew, they're calling the devil the Lord of the Flies, Beelzebub. This Beelzebub, or Lord of the Flies, is one who spreads through viruses, bacteria, and germs. And these viruses, bacteria, and germs have the potential to actually hijack the body's systems.
Has, in your experience of being in the Coptic Church, mm-hmm. right, have you ever seen any possessions?
Not the way they have it on television. Not in that way. But
we have churches here, not necessarily in television, where we have Christian churches here in the Bahamas, or if you go on YouTube or Facebook, speaking to the demon.
Right.
Or speaking to the virus.
Right.
Having a conversation. I mean, they have a conversation. What you eat last night?
Right, that's the yellow. Right.
You can't say that's Tiana. It's a church.
That's Tiana. I had an experience with somebody.
Being demonized?
No, known to me. And I would tell you this boy was possessed. Mm. Right?
With something.
With something. I think it was coke and alcohol. I'll be honest with you. It was cocaine and alcohol. Right. He was possessed.
And again, that's another form of it.
He's looking. So his friends realize there's something wrong with him because his behavior was wild. He's attacking people.
Right.
And he's trying to get his attention.
Right. Look at the bath salts. The fella ate the fella's face in Florida. Right. He ate some bath salts and then he ate someone's face.
Right. They showed us those images on. I remember they were on an overpass.
One of my good brothers in the church works in the psychological facility where that young man is held in the United States. So I don't have these conversations arbitrarily. I was like, so how is he now that he's not on the bath salts? And he said his way of thinking is he doesn't perceive right and wrong. You understand? This is why we have to keep him away from, mm-hmm. and that's deeper than the bath salts. You understand what I'm saying? So this idea of possession, right? When you're seeing it every day, but they're calling it the beauty industry. So we have people with dysmorphia. My nose is too big, I have to make it small. Or my skin is too dark, I have to make it lighter. I need to cut that so I can have a forked tongue. I need to put some stuff, some metal stuff in my face so I change the way my face actually looks. Because that which has hijacked the person looks like what the person is trying to make itself look like. That's possession.
Why are you pointing at me?
Well, I know you wanted to say something. I just want to make sure you get the time before I go. Right? Can prayer take out possession?
Not in and of
itself. Because I see we call this in the medical field mental health issues. Say that person just, Aaron will correct me if I said, I would say that person crazy. And she said, no, Cecil, just have a mental health issue, right? Mm-hmm. Clearly, we have people with this dysphoria, right? In the Bahamas that has mental health issues. Can medication get these viruses, mental virus out of them? Or can prayer and touching someone's forehead and say, I take you out in the name. Right. Can that get you cured?
So it just given a scriptural quote, right? Matthew 17:21. It talks about that you have to use prayer and fasting to get rid of, right? In this month, from May 21st to June 20th, in the Holy Coptic Church, we have the month of the fasting days of atonement, right? We understand that each of us is responsible for exercising our demons, Okay. The word exorcise and exercise phonetically is the same word. Okay. You have to ultimately do what is necessary to discipline yourself, whereby the environment that these viruses, bacteria, and germs, and let's be clear, they're not only physical viruses, bacteria, and germs. You have mental, spiritual, and emotional viruses, bacteria, and germs. Okay? Once you, the prayer is what invokes that which is in you to strengthen you to do what is necessary to discipline yourself to allow for the conditions that are necessary for that virus, bacteria, and germ to no longer exist.
Let me understand? Go ahead. Like bring it to the present.
Yeah.
Fasting, intermittent fasting,
yep.
The practice of fasting mm-hmm. will eradicate foreign
yes.
bodies, right?
Yes.
And so it's something, like you say, the physical,
yeah.
it's something that we do. People fast regularly to rid their bodies of your gut. Your stomach. People don't understand the extent to which your gut health is more important than your brain health. Your gut health impacts the entire body, including the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine now that you have tapeworms. You pick up something through your food. Fasting is a process if you do it structurally, right? You follow a regimen, a routine. You could do a three-day fast, a 7-day fast, a 14-day fast, a 21-day fast. So you could do intermittent fasting where you eat over 8 hours and the other 16 hours of the day you don't consume anything but water, right?
Or mm-hmm.
you minimize that.
Mm-hmm.
That can eradicate a tapeworm, a bacteria
yes.
in your gut that actually can distort your brain's normal or natural function.
Right. In fact, the parasite... That is responsible for the trichinosis, right, which is found a lot in pork. That particular parasite attacks the brain and the heart more than any other organ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's important because even in scripture, when they talk about in the book of Mark, where this man had demons, and he said, "What's your name?" This is the theater. "What's your name?" "My name is Legion." "Send us into the pigs," right? And the question then becomes, why did the demons want to go into the pigs? Well, the environment of the pig doesn't really sweat, all right? The pig has, the pig is a hemophiliac, right? The pig has the environment that allows the bacteria, the viruses, and the germs. This is just an example, the viruses, bacteria, and germs to proliferate within it, whereby it can continue to live, right? It wasn't only the pig. This is why the Levitical laws were so strict on what you could eat and what you couldn't eat, because what the Levitical priests did, they weren't just priests, they were scientists. They were looking at the digestive systems of these particular animals and seeing how well food was digested and whether the actual parasites would be eradicated before you ate it. You understand? Go ahead.
Now, knowing that sweating is an important human function, sweating is a way that we remove toxins from
yeah.
our bodies, right? And
mm-hmm.
so, I mean, it takes us right to the future, like this idea that we're not moving enough, we're not exercising enough, becomes like a sin because you are not using what you have naturally available to you inherently to keep your body in a pristine state.
Okay, colleague, call back. I see you just now.
I'm sorry.
No, man, we're good. I appreciate what you said just now.
Mm-hmm.
Also in these charismatic... Okay, I see the caller now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, before I see the caller, because I know they've been calling for a while. Producer, patch this caller through for me. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning to Mr. Nuri and Anku and Aaron.
Good morning.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was learning here through this conversation, of course, as usual, but I was prompted to chime in to really... finish concrete to make solid what Anku is saying, right? Because are you guys familiar with the Jeffrey Dahmer case?
Somewhat.
Yeah, and so it was the guy that killed him in jail. His surname was Kawa.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was telling the prisoners that the food that he was eating was giving him mental disorders, and he was hearing voices and all of that. It's documented. And so he was saying he had killed someone, but he was very remorseful. And so he had proximity to Jeffrey Dahmer, and he was upset that Jeffrey Dahmer showed no emotions, no remorse, etc., and was trying to intimidate prisoners by drinking, like, ketchup as if it was blood and other little things he was doing to show how evil he was to create fear.
Mm-hmm.
So they put them on a work mission in the bathroom, and then he ended up killing Jeffrey Dahmer. One of the guys had provoked him by poking him with a stick in the back, and he ended up eventually killing them.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just lending ear to when. And also, have you got any of you guys ever seen a macrophage? A macrophage is under the microscope. It's actually a form of white blood cells that phagocytose and keep the body clean. So I'm familiar with what Andrew's saying. I hope everybody would just listen, you know, because it's all out there. Bless up, Andrew.
Yeah, my brother. Okay. In those charismatic religions, right, Pentecostals, Protestants, you mentioned that demons could be viruses and sickness, right? That corrupts the mind, right? But the charismatic religion said that some demons have a home, that they have a marine kingdom. I'm not sure if you ever heard the marine kingdom. Mm-hmm. There's a number of churches here in the Bahamas now talk about that Satan fell from, and demons fell from the sky and landed inside some Indian Ocean, and that there's a marine kingdom of demonic forces. And this marine kingdom of demonic forces, right, are now possessing human beings. They mentioned the fallen angels who had children with human beings. They were no longer human nor angels who were bound, right? That story. That they became demons, right? I think the Arabs would say that demons are the jinn, some kind of genie type thing, who looking for a body to possess.
And then
right?
we buy gin and drink it. Right?
Yeah, but the jinns could possess you too, right?
Yeah.
And
they call it a spirit.
And they call it Wellington spirit, see?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's some kind of conspiracy, right, Aaron? I want to know, does this marine, in your references, the biblical references, does this marine kingdom exist? This kingdom of mermaids, this kingdom of trying to make a heaven on earth.
And if they do exist, are they inherently evil as is being purported?
And if they do exist, are they in Bohemian waters?
Yeah, no, man, I say are they inherently evil?
I wonder if they're Bohemian waters.
I've been wearing shoes in the water since I was like 7.
That explains things.
I mean, I'm ready to run at any time. I'm ready to get out at any time.
I see you scan your book. Let's go to this call in the meantime while you scan your book.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Good morning, how you doing?
Good morning, Uncle.
Good morning.
Morning.
The same thing I was about to call on is what Mr. Neri asked you just now, because I'm one, I take my line in the evenings and I go fishing, and there are a group of ladies that come to the beach there on the eastern end of the island, and they be saying things like calling up the forces from the Marian Kingdom or Marian Kingdom. And it scared me. One time I thought they was running, trying to run my fish or something.
Right.
So, yes, I'll hang up and listen to hear what you have to say about that to see if any, you know, and like Mr. New say, is it here in our waters? Let me know how scared I need to be. Thank you.
Yes, because I don't go fishing for the same thing, because they're saying there's spiritual beings inside the water.
Right.
All
right.
And it's proliferating. It's going through a number of our charismatic religions now.
So,
where a number of Bohemians wholeheartedly believe this is true. I want to know, have you come across it in the
Church? It's in your Bible. It's this.
You got to read it to me. You got to just say it's in the Bible.
No, and I will, right? The war, there's a war in heaven, right? And what are they referring to the devil as? A serpent, a reptile. Again, this reptile, this devil, is cast out of the heavens, and they're saying, woe unto the sea. So let's go to Revelation chapter 12, right? And it talks about this war in heaven, right? And it says, and the great dragon was cast out. This is Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. That old serpent is a reptile, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying, verse 10 of Revelation 12, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. All right. Then it goes on, just for the sake of time, just moving forward. Verse 12. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. So they're making a distinction between those that would be on the land and those that would be in the sea. It says, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. A actual group of beings that want to be in an environment like Earth, because Earth is a water planet. Earth is roughly 70 to 80% water, depending on who you ask. And of course, the polar caps are melting, so that number is increasing, right? There's more information about outer space than there is about the depths of the ocean, right? I left school today, and at the primary school, they were studying the Mariana Trench, right? And they were learning about this deep part of the ocean, right off of New Providence and off of Andres, you have the tongue of the ocean, right? There is more, we understand more about the outer space than we do the ocean of the seas. There's also been talk about what's called Bimini Road, right? And they talk about structures that have been observed that are unnatural. In other words, it appears as if something built it or put it there. Records within the original books of the Bible talks about a kingdom off of Bimini called Yam, right? They talk about a vortex that people refer to as a Bermuda Triangle or an Angel's Triangle, right? So again, what people have gotten bits of information of, it becomes now a marine kingdom. It becomes now this idea of these demons in the water, right? But we got demons walking right around here on Earth. We got some of them demons actually praying right now.
We have demons on Earth?
Yeah, I just said it.
We got praying too?
The people possessed. People are possessed. People. There's Beelzebub, this Lord of the Flies, right? When we are living like the beast, the book of Revelation chapter 13 talks about the image and likeness of the beast. The beast will sit down and tell you, you don't have to clean your chicken before you cook it. Haven't you seen this conversation online? Mm. It's debate, they call it. It's not a debate. You got to clean your chicken. If you don't clean your chicken, you're going to eat the microbes that's on the chicken. All right. Oh, you don't really have to bathe like that. You know, you have to keep the natural oils of your. There's demons telling you this stuff to keep the bacteria and germs in your body so that your systems can be hijacked. So the marine kingdoms, as they refer to it, yeah, they do exist. But again, the supernatural explanation of it, you know, is theater. But are there actual reptile beings that are in the oceans? Yes, there are reptile beings in the ocean. There are reptile beings on land too.
Snake can swim?
Yeah. We got lizards and iguanas walking on land. So, but then you have a humanoid reptile. This is the one that uses the reptile part of the brain more than the other parts of the brain.
I noticed y'all asked the producers to play the music right when I was about to ask y'all if there's any reference to mermaids and mermen inside
we can talk about
the
that.
Bible.
Oh, okay. We come back. We can talk about mermaids and mermen and whether they are attractive and sing songs.
No, I didn't say all of that. I just asked if they exist. I didn't.
Whether they're great for
Disney. I don't know if they're attractive or anything.
Yeah, because I could marry a mermaid.
No, you married already. You can't.
I can't marry a mermaid no more.
Trust me.
No? Anyway, guys, Radio AM, we'll be right back. Talk about mermaids.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a 2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, I'm C.A. Nuri, and of course, Aaron Green is with me. We are talking to Dr. Cleven Inyas III, who is the Kahun of the Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. And we have an range of subjects. Earlier, Aaron was asking about mermaids. But before we go back to mermaids, because we're going to talk about mermaids, different culture talk about this mammy water all the time, right? Straight around the world, they talk about this fish people. But I want to know, does witchcraft exists, and how do I identify witchcraft? And I ask that question because Bohemians, in general and broad across the board, believe that witchcraft is a thing, that there are people out here in the Bahamas doing witchcraft. You can't be eating from people, you can't be picking up strange pennies from people, right? Yeah, you see people, you can't even go get people pray for you. They touch you in your forehead and you just change, right? There are Bohemians who are terrified of witches and witchcraft. Does witchcraft exist?
So the idea of witchcraft, again, looking at the word, this is again another form of demonizing women, right? This idea that there's a female magician, a sorceress, a woman who's supposed to have dealings with the devil or evil spirits and to be able by their cooperation to perform supernatural acts. So this is the word witch, a necromancer, someone who wakes the dead, right? What I don't want to say is that the word Wicca, right? If you have
W-I-C-C-A.
Yeah, this word Wicca, right? Furniture, right?
W-I-C-K-E-R.
Right.
Yeah.
The way that the Wicca furniture is created is they twist wood, they twist.
They get it to bend in ways that wouldn't normally bend.
So the idea of Wicca or those who perform this act of twisting really speaks to those who twist the truth, right? These people who take liberties and create Bibles, versions of the Bible, create systems that ultimately are not beneficial to people who are surviving off of reality, right? If I could take the plural form of the Elohim or the Natural Elohim, and I could make it singular and say God, that's a form of witchcraft. I've twisted the truth. You understand? I've taken the actual meaning of the word, and I've actually made generations of people believe that this is not a plural word. I'm just using this as an example. Generations of people make them believe that this plural word is actually singular, and then I introduce, because this word heaven, if you go to the book of Acts chapter 19, verse 35, it talks about this image of heaven that fell down. This word heaven is the word Zeus. And if you look up Zeus, you see Zeus as this white male sitting on a throne or having this stature that they ultimately attribute to God. Mm-hmm. So all of this is a form of witchcraft, you understand? Now, when you study actual, I've met witches, right? They are just as much in tune with nature as the people who say that they're not witches. It's just how they choose to use nature, what they choose to use nature for. What normally happened was when one group of people took over another group of people, the gods of the defeated people became the demons of the new dominant culture. Mm-hmm. So in the case of the Africans, when we were enslaved and we were kidnapped and we were subjugated, those things that were powerful to us became witches in the dominant society.
Just for a moment, let's talk about what are called the witch hunts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where millions of women and men who would have been accused of being, were more like Obeah practitioners, like bush medicine naturalists, right? Across Europe, they estimate roughly over decades, a million people were killed, killing out indigenous knowledge.
Right.
And killing out indigenous culture, indigenous medicinal and healing practices as well, right? So like Europe had its, I don't want to call it a mafia because that's disrespectful, but Europe had a previous Holocaust, right?
Right.
And so now let's fast forward to 2024 and then take a step back like three or four decades. It's 1980 and then let's take another, because I didn't realize that was four decades ago.
Right.
But let's take it back 6 decades ago to say 1960, maybe 1950. The woman who knew that, or who knows that time, what we cook with, time officinalis, the time that you could grow as a bush in your yard and it'll repel mosquitoes, another form of Obeah, you know, they'll repel bugs from your yard.
Right.
She would have known that she could use thyme tea early in the pregnancy to abort it. And she would have known that you could use thyme tea late in the pregnancy to induce birth. She would have been called a witch.
Right. And this is what Christian or the monotheistic organizations, what they did in order to get the indigenous people to ultimately depend on them, is they had to demonize the herbalists. They had to demonize the people who were rooted in nature, but ultimately would not allow for the dominant culture to be able to control the resources of those people.
Let me quickly go to this caller, because I want to know if pastors, Christian people, could be witches. But go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, Z.A. Welcome back. Good morning to Ms. Green and good morning to Brother Nku.
Good morning, brother.
I totally agree with Brother Nku when he was talking about how witchcraft and sorcery is nothing but deception. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to understand the whole Bible is based on telling us that Satan is the father of all lies. You know what I mean? So that's a very important point. But what I wanted to say when Brother Nku was talking about the wise man and the star and following stuff like that, and how I used to talk about in certain programs the importance of constellations and when we were born, etc., and how CA was talking about the water kingdom. I mean, I was wondering, could the references to the water kingdom be related to Pisces and Aquarius? I mean, because remember now, Jesus is the man who's the fish. Like something in that relation. I mean, because, I mean, you know, could it be something more realistic that we as human beings could relate to and we could understand, as opposed to just a bunch of speculation about things under the water and all these type of things that really don't play for us? I mean, if you understand the point I'm trying to make, too. But I want to end by asking CA a question.
Go ahead.
CA, seeing that the devil is the father of all lies, right? And the Bible talks about a lie so great that even the very elect of God or something will be deceived, and how the people of God refuse the truth of God, send them strong delusion, right? What I want you to do, CA, is please, can you identify for me a great lie that exists in the earth today as truth, right? That has many people deceived, because, I mean, the Bible speaks of these things, right? Because if you cannot identify a great lie or great lies that exist, deception, right, then that means that you could possibly be a victim of that deception and live in that lie if you cannot point to it. Because remember now, we have to be able to identify the lies, because Satan is the father of all lies. That is the main idea and the focus that we should be into. But thank you very much. I'll sit back and see.
Yeah,
good show today, brother. I agree with you today, man.
Thank you, my brother.
I think, I'm going to let you answer, the greatest lie is that Satan, Jesus Christ, is not Lord. Once you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, you understand that all the lies are just dissipate.
I thought the greatest lie was that white people being a small select group of Europeans that in the 1600s decided that they would create a hierarchy of power that privileged themselves over everybody else in the world, rendering them, everybody else, black, and a small group of Europeans white. I think the biggest lie ever told is that white people produced Africans. Like that Africans were born out of white people, that white people's God created Africans. I think that's perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay, that's deep. That's what Go ahead, Uncle.
So I wanted to just touch on where these dragons or these sea creatures are in.
You believe in dragons?
Well, the Bible talks about it in Genesis chapter 1, verse 21.
Hold on, pause. You know the Bible talks about unicorns, right? Yeah, no, you know unicorns exist, right?
Yeah. The English coat of arms has a unicorn. They saw a unicorn.
Yeah, yeah, no.
But anyway, Genesis 20.
Unicorns exist. You've seen a real unicorn. You've seen one in your own life.
Where I saw a unicorn?
On TV.
Okay.
In African plains and savannas.
They
unicorns exist.
Don't worry, rhino?
No, I'm talking about it's just a twisting of the truth to suit somebody else's narrative.
Genesis 1:21 talks about whales, and God created great whales. This word whales is the word tanin, and it means dragons. It means reptiles. It's talking not just, it doesn't mean the word whales as we've been taught to see whales, right? It's talking about, again, these actual beings that were in the waters that ultimately gave way to what people are calling mermaids and mermen, et cetera, et cetera. Now, to the caller's point with regard to Pisces and some of the other astrological signs, the original, where that Pisces comes from, it comes from a fish called the bulto fish, B-U-L-T-O. And this bulto fish is related to one called Asaru. If you look at the headdress of Asaru, they call it the fishette. The fish hat or fish hat is what is worn today in the Catholic Church and in the Anglican churches, where it actually looks like an actual fish when you look at it from the side. Mm-hmm. But that ties into the realities of who Asaru was, and ultimately it was a symbol of we as men being introduced to the mysteries of female fertility and male fertility, right?
Okay,
so we'll get into it another time.
Let me give this caller his 30 seconds before I go. The music is already playing. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller going once. Caller going twice. Nope, that's gone. Uncle, we will see you again next week as we continue our series, as we analyze the Bible and myths and various religions. I got to talk about the power of the
Cool. Yes.
Oh, you mean the power of sound? Sound, in the beginning there was word.
Anyway, we got to go.
And God, the word of sound is frequent.